Fellow Freedom fans, we're back with the Faith and Freedom Show here on the Eagle 104.3 FM. And before we went to the break, we were examining this movement with HM 19 that's before the legislature. It's just been put there. And of course, they're going to visit it the next session to consider a bill that would hold, I guess, the states, federal government, everybody accountable to the boundaries of the Constitution. Let's see what this thing, how it reads. Be it further resolved that this memorial serves as a notice and a demand to the federal government, as our agent, this is from supposedly the Florida legislature, has proposed here, to cease and desist, effective immediately, from issuing mandates that are beyond the scope of these constitutionally delegated powers. I challenge that, folks. You know what? That's a misnomer. People are deceived. They're not reading the bills. I heard so much about the Real ID being a mandate. I read the Real ID. It didn't mandate anything. It mandated nothing. There is no Real ID mandate. There is no national ID mandate, folks. It's a lie. There is no mandate. Read the bill. It says that you, if you want to have a federal benefit, you have to have an identification card that meets the Real ID standards. Nobody's requiring you to have an ID. Nobody's requiring states to produce that ID. It's a lie. In fact, if nobody implements it, guess what? Okay, we're just gonna extend the day that this thing becomes mandatory. Of course, they're going to extend it. It would be extended perpetually because it's unenforceable. You would shut down the airline industry. In fact, then it might even have lawsuits saying, "Is riding an airplane a federal benefit?" It's not a federal benefit. It's a contract benefit from a regulated entity that they're private businesses, or are they? Now, the government can regulate the safety, the behaviors of the airplanes and the airplane companies, but to tell you you can't get on the silly airplane without having the national ID that you've got to scan your face or your thumbprint or your, you know, confess the universal number or something like that, or forsake your state rights or something, they can't do it. What's happening is they're baiting you and the states to comply in spite of the lack of authority to make a mandate. It is not a mandate. And if you read the words are not written as a mandate. But then people are complaining about the Real ID mandate. We've got a pandemic of dementia sweeping North America. Swine flu can do nothing. I mean, is not anything compared with the deadly pandemic of dementia that's sweeping North America with regard to this stuff. Hey, truth. You know, I say I talk about these issues of the day on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong. The reason why things aren't really mandates is because the federal government really does know and recognizes it has no authority to mandate anything. In fact, you'll see some things like this really weird thing that I'll probably be talking about very short soon is another bill that the federal government is saying is justified by interstate commerce and stuff. It's, you can tell if you've read anything, if you've read New York versus the United States and saw, and you were seeing what the federal government was doing there, and then you look at these bills that are coming up to institute, they're trying to say why there's a bill that is, I guess, the hate crimes bill. You know, the hate crimes legislation. They're trying to justify the gender identity as an interstate commerce issue. That's what they're trying to do. Well, there's bills like that that are really sloppy like that and really have these goofy things that really very well may not stand up under scrutiny if a court wanted to look at it to figure out what was going on. But there's a whole lot of bills that aren't controversial like that that are very, very, very well written, very carefully delineate what's going on because of the boundaries of the Constitution. Those are the bills that aren't weird. Those are the bills that aren't some kind of weird political activism. They're things that are actually necessary for the function of government, and I find that they're written very well with regard to considering the boundaries of the U.S. Constitution. I want to see where this thing is going. You talked about mandates. Be it further resolved that all compulsory federal legislation. Okay, question. How does the federal government compel a state to do anything? They can't. New York versus United States. The Congress may not compel states to enact legislation or to administer any federal program, unquote. So let's see what this is saying. Be it further resolved that all compulsory federal legislation that directs states to comply under threat of civil or criminal penalties. How do you have a criminal penalty toward a state? Or sanctions, or require states to pass legislation or lose federal funding, be prohibited or repealed. Now think about this. Pass legislation or you won't get our bait. See, they can do that. They can do that. So what is this remonstrance to Congress? They can bait you. But there's, even in the wording here, it shows that the state doesn't have to take the bait. So why are you doing a remonstrance to Congress? The remonstrance should be to the legislature. The legislature who is being baited. That's what's going on here. So this thing is sort of dysfunctional. I think it's well-meaning. I think there's a lot of great people, wonderful, loving people, hopefully not narcissistic people, but those who are loving their neighbor as herself. Ha ha. Or at least equally, if not more. Right? Okay. Look what it says. Be it further resolved that all compulsory federal legislation that directs states to comply under threat of civil or criminal penalties or sanctions or requires states to pass legislation at the cost of, this could be worded much better. Too many conjunctions. Okay. Too many conjunctions, not enough commas. What they're saying is, stop it, Congress. Stop compelling us and threatening us with the loss of funds. Get out of here. Just don't take the funds. You don't need to take the funds. Rise up, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and function. So let's see what this says. Be it further resolved that copies of this memorial be dispatched to the President of the United States, to the President of the United States Senate, to the Speaker of the United States House of Representatives, to the presiding officers of each state legislature of the United States of America. Why would it go there? And to each member of Florida delegation to the United States Congress. This is a little bit weird. I would think that, I would think personally, that you'd be better off driving a statute that that basically controls legislation in Florida and controls the executive agents. Don't take stimulus money without, well, I guess in Florida it's happened. I guess there's stimulus money that the legislature rushed to be able to take. But hey, that's the legislature did that. That's who did that. The state sold their soul. And I don't know what the cost will ultimately be, but usually when there's bait like that, the hook, there's a hook behind it. Hey, you're listening to the Faith and Freedom Show. I'm David Allen Carmichael. This is the Eagle 104.3 FM for the Liberty Works Radio Network. I'm going to talk about the issues of the day on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, and the basis of right versus wrong. Hey, guys, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to contact your legislature. In fact, go online and check out HM19. Look it over. Do a little strikeout thing. Call your legislator. I will tell you, there's another state that I've actually seen where they have a bill that basically outlines what the policy is of the state with regard to these federal laws. And I will tell you, there is a sick, 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 notice that sounds like three numbers, sick, sick, sick movement going on right now that attorney general's offices and executive agents and bureaucracies of the various several states are violating law of the state and saying, well, we need to make you get under our thumb, little guy in our state, because of this federal mandate. And many of the federal mandates have not been enacted by the legislature. For some reason, somebody in a state, in a bureaucracy, is reading a federal regulation or something that is vague even and doesn't even list who it is specifically that it applies to, and is making the little guy comply to the little guy's hurt in each state under the guise of this federal mandate that doesn't really exist. And that's happening every day. I've seen it firsthand. I've seen it firsthand. One state I saw it where expressly the attorney general of one state argued in a court that this administrative efficiency, a federal thing, trumped significant, important laws of the highest order in a state. And the state even had a legislative statute that expressed in the law that the state was not going to tolerate the federal government encroaching on the rights of its people. Okay? But the government itself, the Attorney General's office, in spite of that statute, will argue that ignore that the statute even exists. We got a lot of troubles, folks. It is imperative for us to check the progress, the behavior of those who we've given power to do things for our good. Those who we've called to be ministers of God for our good, we need them to keep them in check. You know, there are people who claim to be ministers of God for people's good in the jurisdiction of religion, TV evangelists and things like that. People complain a lot. Well, look at Congress. Watch this. Congress reviewing the paychecks of preachers. Well, maybe if those preachers had not taken the church and made it a state corporation, I mean, maybe Congress wouldn't have any business in their business. But when Congress is reviewing the paycheck of a preacher, that's not their job. If the people who are giving gifts of love want to love the person a certain way into their multi-million status, well, that's their prerogative. It is their prerogative. It's a separate jurisdiction. It is for those people who are participating to police that house. That's what their job is. That's their responsibility. How much more so? See, one thing about the church these days, it no longer has a power of a sword. So it's not really dangerous. As long as they're teaching, you know, I'd say that the doctrines of Christ, it's not going to be a danger. It's going to be a help to society. If they're teaching Antichrist doctrines, it is. If it is Antichrist doctrine, it is dangerous to society. It is. But as far as the people policing that, that's the people of that a religious organization. But Congress, you know, these guys have the power of the sword. The state legislator, he's the guy who's supposed to be working on your behalf to avert and avoid every dangerous innovation that may come your way. And we interviewed, I'm going to give a plug to Senator Fasano. We interviewed Senator Fasano, and I was a little bit suspicious. I saw some dangerous innovations in the legislature, and we brought them up on the air. And he ended up correcting me. It turned out there were several bills on this thing where they were going to do a kind of national ID, real ID to get medication kind of thing. He was having something that would be modifying the behavior of Floridians and physicians in Florida with regard to this Controlled Substances Act and keeping people from getting prescription medication and abusing it. Now, his bill, it turned out, when we interviewed him on the radio, avoided and averted the dangerous innovations of the other bills that were really draconian and really using this a few hundred people abusing a system, and they were going to control millions of people in Florida because there were 400 people that were abusing it. That's literally what was going on. What was neat was Senator Fasano's bill actually avoided and averted the dangerous innovation while still dealing with the problem. Fabulous. I was so impressed by that. That's why we're doing this here on this Faith and Freedom Show. It's for you. I don't have a political agenda. I have a servant service agenda. It's kind of a sneaky way to introduce people to biblical precepts. It's sneaky. I just little here, little there, just a little salt and a little light. Yes, I do have an agenda, but it's apolitical. It's hard to do, but it really is a motive of what I understand to be religion. Religion, loving my neighbor as myself. That's religion. What my understanding of that is the duty I owe the Creator is to equip you to. You're listening to the Eagle 104.3 FM. I'm David Allen Carmichael. This is the Faith and Freedom Show because I talk about the issues of the day on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, and the basis of right versus wrong.